who would have thought that God would have been so involved in the marriage arrangements between Isaac and Rebekah? But if you pay very careful attention, especially to how they broke it up in the lectionary, the servant is telling Laban, in the midst of my prayer, as I was praying to the Lord, send this woman, and this is what I'm going to say, and this is what I want to happen. Send her so that I know she is from you. And he hadn't finished the prayer when Rebekah arrived. Who would have thought that God would have been that involved in the mundane pieces of marriage brokering? But he was. He was. And then that other piece at the very end, when the scriptures tell us that Isaac loved her. That's a very unusual thing in Hebrew to even have in your scriptures, that in the arranged marriage, the husband loves the wife. So in the midst of this story of this strange ancestral family that we have, this human imperfect family that we have, we hear God's hand in the midst of marriage arrangements, but we also hear God's love through the marriage of a husband and a wife. So you might wonder, why is it that we have to pay attention to the lives of people like Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Rebecca, and even Laban, who later shows up in a little bit more detail? Why tell this story? Why spend so much time focusing on God's faithfulness in that Old Testament, that Old Covenant? Because it's connected to our lives. It's very much connected to our lives. We who are so human, we who do some of the crazy things that Sarah and Abraham and even Rebecca did, some crazy things. She took the idols with her from her father's house. You know, these are not perfect people whom God called to create this church that is God's. These are the people God chose. God chose for the transformation of the world. We are the people God chose for the transformation of the world. God knows us just as we are. God knows our humanness. God knows our desires of our hearts. God knows where we want to be. God knows where we aren't. God knows all those things about us, but God still wants us to be God's voice in the world. God still calls people to be God's people. So we became grafted, as I told the children, onto this family tree of Abraham through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if you looked at your bulletin, you're going to find that Jesus is through the line of Judah. So he's on that family tree too. We got grafted in there. And if I had been reading to you from the New Testament, from the gospel lesson this morning, I would have been reading to you about what happens in the midst of our culture and our world. When we get caught up in our world, we don't see the prophets in our midst, and we don't see the Messiah in our midst. The reading was out of Matthew chapter 11, and it was at the time that Jesus was speaking to the crowds, and he was reminding them about John the Baptist, who lived a life of purity, and they called him crazy and had demons, and about Jesus, who ate with sinners and tax collectors, and they called him a drunkard and other names, and didn't see him as the Messiah. That the world could not see who God had called, but God still called them, and they still came forth and did the work God called them to do. But then he makes this crowd he's just condemned, because the next verses that the lectionary doesn't include, condemn the cities that don't believe in him as the Messiah. Condemns the cities who are cities of sin and death. But then, the next verse, verse 28 through 30, goes like this. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brothers and sisters, doesn't that just fill you with awe and wonder? In the midst of an opportunity when he could have continued to condemn, he turned around and invited all those who didn't believe into the family. Come to me and I will give you rest. Those verses were the passage that transformed my life from sinner to reformed sinner. I didn't say saint. I said reformed sinner or reforming sinner or reconciling sinner. But that God would want me, that Jesus would want me to come and be in that yoke with him. This isn't a one oxen pulling cart. This is a yoked. We are yoked with Christ in this. And what burden we're supposed to lay down is the burden of the world, the burden that the world tells us we have to look a particular way. We have to make a particular amount of money to have value, that our houses have to look this particular way, that we have to drive this particular car, that we have to have this particular phone, that our shoes need to be whoever's, and our clothes need to be whoever's, and those leggings need to be Lululus or something like that, Lulamaru or whoever those leggings need to be. We lay down those burdens. We lay down the burdens of the fact that the world's a mess and we can't do anything about it. We're not in control. We lay it all down. Don't you already feel lighter on your shoulders? But then when we take the yoke of Christ upon us, and get into this family, this Abraham family, and we move with Christ through the world, we take upon his burden. And he says his burden is light. So what is the yoke of Christ? That we are working with Christ so that the world might be saved. We are working with Christ for the transformation of the world. We are called to love a faithless world. We are called to love people that we don't think are lovable. We are called to love people who don't think themselves to be lovable. We are called to extend Christ's invitation to a hurt and broken world. Remember who Christ calls. Christ doesn't call the perfect, or else we wouldn't have anybody in the Church of Jesus Christ. Christ calls us, imperfect human beings, to be part of this bloodline of imperfect human beings, that all we need to be, just like Abraham and just like Isaac, we need to be faithful to the calling that God placed on our heart. But thanks be to God, we don't have to do this alone. For God is with us, working through us, and the Holy Spirit will guide and direct us. It may not appear to many that God is active in this world. The crowd sees what the crowd wants to see. But we are called to look with different eyes, to see the wonder of God's hand in any particular moment we find ourselves in. To see the wonder when children sing Father Abraham and laugh so hard because they think the pastor looks a little silly. We are to see the wonder in the moment when we wake up and the sun is rising and the sky is absolutely beautiful. We need to see the wonder of God in our family members who surprise us with sudden visits, who come home and say, "I'm so glad I'm here." We need to see the wonder when we make lunch for family members who we only see on Sunday afternoons. We need to see the wonder when we meet a man in a homeless shelter and we move him to a transition home. And suddenly he's living in Raleigh in his own apartment and has his own job. God is working in the world He's even working in those big and high places that we think are godless, because they're not. There is no place in the world that God is not. There is no place in the world that the Holy Spirit is not. But people won't see it unless we bear witness to it. And I love it when Donald Rose prays, because she always ends her prayer somewhere along the line of, "And may you tell somebody about Jesus Christ so that their life may be changed." When we take upon the yoke of Christ, we join this crazy and wonderful family that began when God created the heavens and the earth and then chose Abram to become Abraham and then gave us his son, Jesus Christ, whose life, death, and resurrection give us new life, new hope. And as long as we are faithful to our calling to proclaim the message of hope, to live in a world that is sometimes lawless, sometimes loveless, and love, then the world will be changed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.